Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, it's only Wednesday, but it feels like, not that it's Friday, that's like it's three Fridays from now.
What does that mean?
It means like this week has been long already.
Yeah, well, it's the back to work thing. It's just, you know, we're all getting crushed, I think, as well as all of our listeners, too. It's hard to make it through Broadway Briefing, isn't it?
I don't have any idea what you're talking about, James.
All right. First up on the agenda, Groundhog Day to officially open on Broadway this spring.
Yeah, as first reported by Michael Riedel in the New York Post and later confirmed with an official press release, the highly acclaimed new musical Groundhog Day will open on Broadway on Monday, April 17th, after previews begin in March. The show will play the August Wilson Theater, which will bid farewell to its longtime tenant, Jersey Boys, in January. The producers say that casting will be announced at a later date, but you can go ahead and write in Tony nominee Andy Carl's name in as Phil Connors, the Bill Murray role from the film. The show had originally planned to begin performances at the smaller Schoenfeld in late January, but that was before producer Scott Rudin exited the production, allegedly over the show's rising costs, which might have necessitated the move from the Schoenfeld to the August Wilson. Tickets will go on sale for pre-sale through Ticketmaster starting on October 12th, with general on sale starting 2 weeks later on the 26th. Riedel writes that his sources say that while the show was very good and very well received in London, that it's not yet perfect and needs some cutting and some tinkering to appeal to an American audience, which generally has quite different sensibilities when it comes to musicals than our cousins across the Atlantic. That being said, Riedel Spy says that Tim Minchin, who wrote the score, Danny Rubin, who wrote the book and the original screenplay, and director Matthew Warchus are not too proud to make changes, saying, quote, they will be doing a lot of work between now and the spring. They don't want to F-K it up by being complacent. I added the dashes. You have to see it in the post to know what I was saying, so sorry to confuse you there. Now, James, when Jersey Boys announced that it was closing last week, you speculated that with the traffic jam of shows trying to get onto Broadway, that we would likely have a replacement announced for the August Wilson within a week, and maybe even this show was pushing Jersey Boys out the door, and I don't know about that, but gosh darn it, you were right that we'd find something out within 7 days.
Yeah, it's I'm so mad at myself I didn't connect the dots between Groundhog Day and that, because it's so obvious in hindsight. But sure, I think you had to get an announcement because that's too valuable of a property to be sitting alone. And it's a good time to announce new things. So next up, we are going to talk about the show and casting news, or should I say you should be talking about the show and casting news.
Well, you're welcome to jump in anytime you want, obviously. First off, after British pop star Leona Lewis posted on Twitter that she would end her run as Grisabella in the Broadway revival of Cats in less than a month, my colleagues at Broadway World confirmed that she will play her final performance on October 9th. I'm a little surprised that Lewis will only be in the show for less than 3 months, and I was hoping that this whole thing would come full circle with Nicole Scherzinger replacing her, but apparently she's still going to be doing that X Factor show in the UK, so that's not going to happen just yet. It will be interesting to see who will replace Leona Lewis, because we know that just about every Broadway diva was auditioned for the role, so I wonder if any of them will be willing to replace, especially after it's only been a couple months. So we'll keep an eye out and an ear out to see who takes over for the glamour cat there. This one was kind of a no-brainer, and I think I mentioned it last week when we talked about the show beginning previews, but MCC officially announced yesterday that the new Neil LaBute play All the Ways to Say I Love You, starring Tony Winner, Judith Light, and directed by Lee Silverman, has extended by a week. The first production of MCC's 30th season began previews last Wednesday and is now scheduled to run through October 30th at the Lucille Lortel Theater. Opening night is still set for Wednesday, September 28th. And speaking of extensions, James, after we speculated on yesterday's show where it would land, pun totally intended, on Broadway, the new musical Come From Away announced that it would extend at DC's Ford's Theater before shuffling off to Toronto en route back to New York for the spring. The show will now play through October 16th in our nation's capital before heading across the border.
All right. So I did see that Come From Away extension, and I thought to myself, You know, maybe they were going to come directly and bypass Toronto, but we'll have to see if that actually happens.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, did we talk about this on it, or was it just a Twitter comment that James
Corden? Just the Twitter.
James Corden dropped by Broadway's Aladdin last week.
Yeah. So I think on Saturday, James, one of our great listeners at Cooper's Chew Toy on Twitter, and his Twitter profile does confirm that Cooper is a Sheltie. So get your mind out of the gutter there. Anyway, on Saturday, he tweeted us that he was at Aladdin on Friday night, and that during Friend Like Me, Tony winner James Corden just came out of nowhere to lend a hand to fellow Tony winner James Monroe Iglehart's Genie. Apparently, the bit was part of Corden's non-US show, A League of Their Own, which airs on Britain's Sky One network. Corden had won a competition among some of his other co-hosts that afforded him the largest quasi walk-on role in Aladdin. He played a kind of game show host, presenting Aladdin with prize suggestions and doling out healthy doses of one-liners like, "Behind curtain number 3, a brand new pyramid. Now you and King Tut will finally have something in Tut in common."
Oh.
But, ching. Yeah, exactly. Cooper's Chew Toy told us that the audience went crazy as soon as Corden came out, and reportedly the show had to take a bit of a pause for the audience to settle down before it could move on. Now, James, I really love that Corden has embraced his theatrical roots as he's kind of risen to, I mean, he's become a pretty big star here in the U.S. He's already won 2 Emmys for his show at the Creative Arts Emmys last week. And I just hope that we get to see this bit at some time soon, because I can just imagine how much fun him and James Monroe Iglehart must have had on stage together.
Yeah, this is really exciting. And it's funny because I'm so bad at spotting celebrities and things like that. And I was thinking to myself, out of context, I might not have ever been like, oh, he looks so familiar. Who is that? Do you
really
ever have that? I'm so bad at the celebrity spotting.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time when I'm watching something on TV. I'm like, oh, my God, I recognize him. Who is that? And then I have to look him up. But I think James Corden is a big enough star, at least to me, that I'd recognize him.
Is Annalee Ashford a big enough star?
You know, my instinct is to say yes, absolutely. But I'll be honest with you. The first time I saw her on Masters of Sex, which is not a show that I watch regularly, and that was kind of before she became such a huge Broadway star, but I still was aware of her and was a fan of her. I didn't recognize her. So normally I would say, yes, she's a huge star. I love Annalee Ashford, but I would be lying about when I first saw her on TV. So
I'm going to have a sidebar here. Masters of Sex. Did you hear that Kelly, what's her last name? Kelly?
Don't do this, James. You know, we talked about this. You know, I had to make sure that you had a cold shower on hand when I told you. But yes, Kelly O'Hara will be playing.
That's her name. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like you forgot. Yes, she will have a recurring role on this season of Masters of Sex. There's been a lot of theatrical people on there. Christian Borle has had a recurring role. Allison Janney's had a recurring role. So there's been a lot of theatrical folks that have showed up on that show. I don't watch it all that often, but you know, I love that theater folks are getting work on highly acclaimed cable dramas.
So we're totally off script here. Do you watch Madam Secretary?
No, I try not to watch many shows on CBS, but no, I think they do also have huge amounts of Broadway people on it. B.B. Newirth, Bettina Miller, Eric Bergen, Sebastian Arculus. I totally butchered his name, but yeah, tons of Broadway folks.
So do you remember Andrew Asness, who did the 360 thing for the for
Hamilton?
Yeah. For Hamilton for the Tony Awards. His wife is Anastasia Barzee, and who's also been on Broadway Radio before. And Anastasia seems to have gotten landed a recurring role on there,
oh, cool.
I think. And so I've been seeing all of these Broadway folks that are watching, that are not watching, but they're in Madam Secretary. And I was like, wow, they must shoot in New York.
Yeah, they've got a ton of people, and I didn't mention Tim Daly, who's also on the show. Keith Carradine was on the show or is still on the show, I'm not sure. But yeah, tons of people.
Hey, I have an idea.
Get back to the script,
but this weekend, come on this week on Broadway, we'll talk a little bit about theater people in television, and maybe we'll list a handful of shows coming up that will be in movie theaters and television. We started off this tangent because Annalee Ashford and Charles Bush will celebrate New Year's at Feinstein's 54 Below.
Yeah, James, yesterday, Fine Science 54 Below announced both of its New Year's Eve acts. And as you said, the legendary actor and playwright Charles Bush will perform at 7 p.m. And Tony winner Annaleigh Ashford, who I think I would totally recognize on TV.
I thought they were together.
No. Although that's not a bad idea.
That could be a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, no, but Annaleigh is going to hold down the 11 p.m. slot. Ashford rang in the new year at 54 Below last year. And as I said a few weeks ago, I think when we were discussing her as part of the cast of the upcoming Rocky Horror Picture Show on Fox, her album Lost in the Stars that was recorded at 54 Below is one of the weirdest, most infectiously joyful records that I have ever heard. It is in heavy rotation on my iPhone, so if I were going to be in New York City around New Year's Eve, I know that I would be plopping down some cash to spend the evening with Annaleigh. It's not cheap, as no New Year's Eve thing in New York is, but I have a feeling that whatever show she puts together on New Year's Eve will be incredibly worth the money.
Hey, what's your favorite track on Lost in the Stars?
Well, I really like the opening number where she kind of goes through the history of 54 or of Studio 54, where she does a little kind of bits of different songs and talks about some of the history of that space. I think I like it the most because she does this really super weird, specific Annaleigh Ashford voice when she's doing like narration during it. It is just so quirky and it's just so Annaleigh that I love it. So that's my favorite probably. And then she also tells a really good story about one of her teachers back, I think she's in Colorado where she's from, which is really cool. So a lot of good stuff on the album.
Well, send me a track and we'll play it on the way out for today's show.
Sounds good. All right.
Next up, that crime of the century, the last 5 years, performance videos.
Yeah, James, I'm going to go ahead and say something that will likely shock and anger many people, but I want them to hear me out before sending me any hate mail, okay? I want to start by admitting that I've just seen these two videos, and they were great. They were great, let me get that out of the way. And also, I want to admit that I know next to nothing about, well, just about anything, but specifically singing, especially on this level. But when I watched these videos, I kind of felt like Joshua Henry and Cynthia Erivo were almost too good of singers for the songs, which is crazy. I know that Jason Robert Brown is one of the most challenging composers to either sing or play that works in the musical theater today or ever. So this is by no means a knock on him, nor is it one on Norbert or Sherry Renee or Adam, Betsy, Jeremy, and of course not my dear Anna. And it's not even one on Joshua or Cynthia either. But think about it this way. When composers write a song for theater, they use kind of the ebbs and flows of music to help communicate the rising and falling emotions of what is effectively a sung through monologue. Often a song's highest and or lowest moments line up with the song's biggest emotions. Like when I hear someone hit a huge note at the end of a song, they're belting, they're going crazy, Idina Menzel, Defying Gravity. It's you know, the most emotional moment. And I kind of want to feel like that note was at the very tippy top of their range and that it was only the emotion of the character, the emotion of the moment that was pushing them to be able to hit it. Now, obviously, I know that anyone in a musical on or even off Broadway is likely going to be able to hit every note that they sing 99 times out of 100, if not more. But watching these videos, I felt like Joshua and Cynthia had such great technique and so much natural ability and such expansive ranges, there was really no vocal strain involved. I often feel that way with like more legit musicals and definitely in operas where the technique is kind of more important than the emotion. Now, I also recognize that the vocal is only one of the storytelling tools that goes into delivering a song well. And fortunately, in this case, Joshua Henry and Cynthia Erivo are world-class actors and delivered amazing performances. So I enjoyed them a lot. Heck, I had head-to-toe goosebumps throughout both of them. But there did just be something, seemed to be something missing from their performances, which obviously, you know, might have been remedied if they'd gone through an actual rehearsal process. But that teetering on the edge of not being able to do it was kind of negated because they're just so good. James, does that make any sense? Am I completely crazy?
It makes a lot of sense, and you are completely crazy. Yes, absolutely. Those things are mutually exclusive, not collectively exhaustive. I know exactly what you're saying. I didn't see these videos, so I can't really comment on these, but I know exactly what you're saying about a singer being so good that you're missing, you know, you're missing at something. And we'll take it out of the musical theater realm when we talk about great singers. You know, people talk about Dylan or Axl Rose or people like that, they certainly do not have the prettiest. They don't have the prettiest voices out there. They're just a Stritch. We don't need to go any further than Elaine Stritch.
Yeah.
Bring it right back into Broadway where, you know, I listened to her show on Liberty?
Live at Liberty Elaine Stritch at Liberty, yeah.
Elaine Stritch at Liberty. And, certainly she's not the prettiest voice out there, but she takes that it's a shame that Stritch never did last 5 years.
Well, and that's the thing is that, like, they were still really good. Like, the character and the acting that went into it, it really made up for most of this. So I'm not saying that there was anything deficient about the performance.
I totally get it.
It's just like, I don't know, JRB, bump it up a half step or something, put it on the edge of their voice so that we get kind of some of that vocal tension that you want to have on something because – you know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. There are few shows in the musical theater canon, and I would put this in canon, that are as emotionally raw as the last 5 years. So you want something that kind of is vocally raw with it. And I think especially Norbert and Sherry Renee, they had that raw nature and that raw quality. And Joshua Henry and Cynthia Erivo, thankfully, are gainfully employed, so they are not able to rehearse as much as they would if it was an actual production. But that was just something that I thought was a little missing. So I'm glad that I'm not completely alone in this idea, even though you haven't seen these videos. But they're great, and we will have them in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. But if you think I'm crazy, keep it to yourself. No, you can tell me. But if you understand what I'm saying, let me know so I don't think I'm completely cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMATT, where you can yell at me and tell me and I'm an idiot and don't know what I'm talking about. But if you do, also subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino at BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending part of your Wednesday with us, and we will talk to you tomorrow. I have no